The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
While some people were speaking about how the temple was adorned with costly stones and votive offerings, Jesus said, "All that you see here, the days will come when there will not be left a stone upon another stone that will not be thrown down." Then they asked him, "Teacher, when will this happen? And what sign will there be when all these things are about to happen?" He answered, "See that you not be deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'the time has come.' Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for such things must happen first, but it will not immediately be the end." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be powerful earthquakes, famines, and plagues from place to place, and awesome sights and mighty signs will come from the sky. Before all this happens, however, they will seize and persecute you. They will hand you over to the synagogues and to prisons, and they will have you led before kings and governors because of my name. It will lead to your giving testimony. Remember, you are not to prepare your defense beforehand, for I myself shall give you wisdom in speaking, that all your adversaries will be powerless to resist or refute. You will even be handed over by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair on your head will be destroyed. By your perseverance, you will secure your lives." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Our first reading was from the prophet Malachi. He is the last of the 12 minor prophets. And this is important. If we look at our Catholic Bibles, we go home and look. What he's saying here, and I'll say it again, what he's writing, "Lo, the day is coming, blazing like an oven, when all the proud and all evildoers will stumble. All the day that is coming that will set them on fire, leaving them neither root nor branch, says the Lord of hosts. For you who fear my name, there will arise the Son of Justice with its healing rays." This is important because scripture scholars believe, for very, very good reason, and logical reason as well, that this is the last word of God, the word that God speaks for hundreds of years in Malachi. There's hundreds of years of silence from God. And then what do we have? Matthew, the genealogy of Jesus. Mark and Luke talk about John the Baptist preparing the way of the Lord. And so with this, Malachi is, the Lord is speaking through Malachi, is very important. It's preparing us. He's preparing us for what is to come. The purpose, the target, or you could say even the thesis of this book of Malachi is that there's a crisis of faith that has settled among society. So the Lord's pleading to the people, get your stuff straight. The day of the Lord will come. But for you who fear my name, there will arise the Son of Justice and its healing rays. These are God's words thousands and thousands of years ago. But let's face it, there's a crisis of faith today. There is. That's one reason why we and other parishes throughout the country are going through the Rescue Project to know Scripture, to know it, to internalize it, to speak it, to share it, to know its impact on my life. I hear these words every Sunday. I speak these words, read the gospel. What impact does it have on me? Does it mean anything to me when I leave? I think if anything today, just read a little bit of Malachi, the end of it. These are the last words God speaks before Jesus comes on the scene. Every gospel writer speaks of the end times. Luke in chapter 21 writes a description of the destruction of the temple and the signs of the persecution to come. Matthew does the same in chapter 24. Mark does the same in chapter 13. And John, well, the whole book of John is about the revelation. All the gospel writers speak of the end of one era and the beginning of a new. That's kind of the theme today. God is a God of justice. God is a God of justice, and we know what's right and what's wrong. God is a God of justice. God is a God of mercy. If we think about it, it would have been natural for the disciples to be paralyzed by fear over the days ahead. But God himself would give them the grace exactly that they would when they would need it. Grace for the moment. Grace for the moment, not a minute before. The disciples were to live each moment in faith and trust as it was slowly revealed to them. Sometimes we want it all. God revealed it slowly to each one of these disciples, and he reveals it slowly to each one of us. That's why prayer, faith, Mass, sacraments are so important. Every time we receive that grace of God, he slowly reveals himself to us. And if we just look to the life of Mary, and we just think about it, her life, a young girl, total trust, total faith in God. Total trust, total faith in God in each moment of her life. And Mary's example of trust and faith is an example, continues to be an example, will be an example for you and me for the rest of our lives because she gives us hope. Today's gospel tells us about the signs of the end. Whenever we look to the stories of the New Testament, Jesus, using this imagery in today's gospel, means something to the first century Jew. We hear it. They've heard it before. They've heard it before, but now they're hearing it from Jesus a second time, and it hits them hard because they would have heard this imagery used in the Old Testament. Such imagery that they would have heard was used to show the anger of God. God always followed with the promise of a new age, a new beginning, a new time of a great Messiah. Jesus uses this imagery right before he's put to death as well. Jesus uses this imagery to those who are persecuting him, the Jewish leaders. Many of Jesus' followers suffered, were persecuted, and died for the faith that we celebrate today. And they died with hope. They died with hope. Why? How? Because Jesus tells his followers, and he tells each one of us today in the last sentence of the gospel, Not a hair on your head. Not a hair on your head will be destroyed. By your perseverance, you will secure your lives. This is faith, total faith in Christ. There will be a time for all of us, for you and me, to bear witness. There will be a time, someone, somewhere, most likely a family member, somebody close. At the end of Mass, the priest will say, "Go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your life." And all of you, the faithful, will respond, "Thanks be to God." That means something. That means something. We say that every Mass, but that means something profound. Why? Because God gives us all we need in this Mass, period. With the Eucharist, He feeds and nourishes us. He sustains and fulfills us with the grace of the Holy Spirit that will give us wisdom in glorifying God, the Lord, by our lives. If we are attuned to Him and follow Him when we step out these doors. It begins when we step out these doors with Jesus present within us in the Eucharist. There are so many things happening in our world, our families, and our lives, and that's just the way it's going to be. It's always been like that way. It's the way it's going to be. There is no better time than the present to glorify the Lord by our lives, to trust that God will lead and guide us in our day, to be that source of healing, that source of joy in our community, our workplaces, our schools, and our families. But that healing and joy comes from one person, not you or me, not a spouse, not a friend. That healing and joy comes from our Lord Jesus Christ. We receive Him today in that Eucharist. Together, whether we know each other or not, all of us here, we are the body of Christ. And as the world changes, people's deep desire is to see Jesus in all of this. Where is Jesus? Where is Jesus today in my life, in our country, in our world? Where is He? There is that sense of longing for Jesus. After all of this is His. All of this is His. And He's in control. We just need to cooperate with Him. He's in control. Our lives, quite frankly, our faith as well, depend on perseverance. We hear that at the end of the gospel. I had the opportunity to visit a parishioner in the hospital earlier this week. And as I went to go see her, walked in the room, and she wasn't very verbal, but her eyes were open. I anointed her. She could not at the time receive communion. I prayed a decade of the rosary with her. I talked to her. And I knew that this lady was devout. And I thought for a moment, I didn't know how long she had, but I thought, she can't even receive our Lord here at the end. I didn't know how much time she had. But as I looked at the table next to her, she had written in very clear print, writing, a spiritual communion, clearly in her vision here. And I thought to myself, wow, she's not giving up to the very end. She's continued. She can't receive our Lord, but she has that spiritual communion right within her sight. That's perseverance. And her life was taken away. She went to our Lord on Thursday evening. Pursued our Lord to the very end. Persevered to the very end. It wasn't easy. It's not easy. It's never going to be easy for any of us. Persevered. That's a true story. Someone, it was used to be a week ago or two, was in our midst. We also have those great examples. Mother Teresa, a devout Catholic nun, now a saint. She dedicated her life to serving the poorest of the poor, wanted to start her own community. She felt that calling. For 4 years, she wrote letters to start this community. Time and time again, she was said, just wait, just wait. Finally, after 4 years, she was given that permission to start the Missionaries of Charity. We have some missionaries of charity in downtown Indianapolis that serve the poorest of the poor, all because of Mother Teresa's perseverance. Michael Jordan, in an interview great basketball player. He was asked at one time, "What's the secret to your success?" Everyone saw his success on TV, but he paused, and his response was, "You know, I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my life, and I've lost over 300 games. And 26 times, my team has trusted in me to take the last shot at the end of the game, and I missed. Throughout my life," and he said, "throughout my career, I have failed and failed and failed again. And that's why I succeed, because I persevere. One more game, one more shot." And I believe one of the greatest stories of perseverance and one of the greatest stories of our American history here is that of Abraham Lincoln. Lincoln lost 8 elections. He failed twice in business, suffered a nervous breakdown, all before he came to president of the United States in a very tough and challenging time. And when Lincoln became president, he said, "The path was worn and the path was slippery. My foot slipped from under me, knocking the other foot out of the way, but I recovered and I said to myself, it's a slip, not a fall." Perseverance. There is no success without it. Perseverance dominates the lives of great leaders, champions, and saints. Each of us are called to live as the early Christians did, with faith and hope, probably more today than ever. Faith and hope give us that grace to persevere, and Christ promises that he will never abandon us on the way. And in the end, Christ offers us hope. And so, as we approach Advent, what is Advent but a season of hope, a season of waiting? Hope in the birth of a little child sent to rescue each one of us, who reaches out his hand to bring us closer to the Father. Our tomorrow depends on our perseverance in faith, hope, and love today.